Good morning, boys and girls. We hope you'll enjoy today's stories and games. Two of us will be reading to you today. We are Miss Dottie and
Miss Fran.
We read to children in the Carroll Public Library from when they are only a few months old to when they're about 3 or 4 years old. Children always have fun, and so do we, playing games, hearing stories, and listening to music. We're going to listen to another story today about the Littles. This one is titled, The Littles Go Around the World, and it's written by John Peterson.
And it's adapted by Teddy Slater. A whole lot of Littles lived in the walls of Mr. and Mrs. Biggs' house, but they were so small, the Biggs never even noticed them. The Littles only came out of the walls when the Biggs weren't around. Mr. and Mrs. Little spent lots of time in the Biggs' kitchen. So did Grammy and Uncle Pete. Cousin Dinky Little used the Biggs' roof as a landing strip for his glider plane. He loved to drive his glider plane. And Tom and Lucy Little often played in young Henry Biggs' bedroom. Henry had lots of toys and games, but best of all, he had two pet gerbils. The gerbils were very small with a nice long tails. One day, Tom and Lucy were playing in the gerbils' cage. Suddenly, they heard a big, loud footstep. Quick as a wink, they hid under a pile of wood chips right in the cage. A big hand picked up the cage and carried it out of the house. A car door slammed. All engine began, roar, roar. Mrs. Big drove off with the cage, the gerbils, and two scared little children. She drove all the way to Henry's school. "I've brought Henry's gerbils for a visit," she told the teacher. "You may keep them all week." "Yay," everyone cheered, everyone except Tom and Lucy. "Uh-oh," they groaned as Mrs. Big was waved goodbye and left the classroom. "We have to get out of here," Tom whispered. "But how?" Lucy asked. "The whole class is looking at us. They see us. If they see us, we can't move." "Shh," Tom hissed. "I have an idea. Watch me and get ready to run." "Eek," a girl yelled. "The gerbils are loose." Everyone turned to watch the animals running across the floor, everyone except Tom and Lucy. They raced out the door, down the hall, and into an empty classroom. Lucy pointed to a huge ball. "What is that?" she asked. "It's a globe," Tom said. "A map of the whole earth." "Where is America?" Lucy asked. "You can't see it from here," Tom said. "You have to climb to the top." Lucy pulled herself all the way up to the top, all the way to the North Pole. "Look at me," she cried. "I'm on top of the world." Tom slowly spun the globe. Lucy hopped onto the Iceland. She jumped over Greenland, and she skipped across Canada. Before long, she was back where she had started from. "Wow," Lucy yelled. "I just walked all around the world." "Come on down," Tom said. "Mom and Dad will be worried about us. We should go now." "But how?" Lucy said. "We must be at least a mile away from home. Now, a mile may not sound very long to you and me, but little legs are short. 1 mile might just as well have been 1,000,000 miles. "There must be a way," Tom said. And sure enough, there was. Cousin Dinky and his glider plane had followed them and landed there waiting for them. "How did you find us?" Tom asked Cousin Dinky. "I saw Mrs. Big drive off with you," Dinky said, "so I followed her." "Here we Littles have to stick together," Dinky said. "It's a great big world down there." Go ahead.
There's another story about the earth we live in and the world around it. In this story, Winnie the Pooh and all his friends, Tigger, Roo, Rabbit, Eeyore, Piglet, they all wonder where the sun goes at night. And that's the book's title, Where Does the Sun Go at Night? It was a splendid summer evening, and Pooh was playing tag with his friends. "You're it," shouted Roo, tagging Tigger in mid-bounce. "Ho-ho," cried Tigger, "now I'll get Pooh." Tigger bounced into the darkening shadows and straight into a bush. It sure complicates this tag business when you can't see where you're going, he said, pulling leaves from his tail. "What are you talking about?" "Oof," grunted Rabbit as he tripped on a tree root and landed on top of Tigger. "Looks like you're it, Long Ears," Tigger said triumphantly. Just then, Kanga appeared in the doorway. "It's getting dark," she called. "Time to come inside for the sleeping part of this sleepover party." "Aw, Mama," said Roo, "just a few more minutes." Kanga shook her head and smiled. "I've made you all a little snack. Come and get some cookies while they're still warm." "Why does it have to get dark?" Roo asked, as he and his friends ate their way through a big plate of Kanga's delicious honey cookies. "Mm-mm," Pooh said. "I beg your pardon, Pooh," said Roo. "Oh, bother," said Pooh. "My words got crowded out by cookies. I said that it gets dark because the sun goes away." "But it always comes back, doesn't it, Pooh?" Piglet asked nervously. "Yes, Piglet," answered Pooh. "Always. What I'd like to know is, where does the sun go at night?" said Roo. "It always seems to leave just when we're having the most fun." "We'll probably never know where it goes," Eeyore said sadly. "We could try to find out," Piglet said. "All of us together." "I'm with you, buddy boy," Tigger said. "Then maybe we can persuade the sun to stay around more."
"So we wouldn't have to sleep so much," yawned Roo.
"And we could stay up playing tag all night long," said Pooh, just before he began to snore. In the morning, the friends put their heads together to try to solve the mystery of the disappearing sun. "First things first," Tigger said. "Where was the sun the last time we saw it?" "I believe it was over there," Pooh said, pointing toward the field. "No, no," Rabbit insisted, "it was over there." "Oh, I wish I'd been watching," wailed Roo. "I remember where it was," Piglet said quietly. "I stopped to watch it set behind the hill." "Good work, buddy boy," Tigger said. "Let's go see if it's still there."
"It won't be," Eeyore said.
"Why not?" asked Roo.
"Because it's shining on the pond right behind you," Eeyore said.
"Very mysterious," Rabbit muttered. "How do you suppose the sun got all the way over there?"
"Maybe we get some clues if we followed it," Piglet suggested.
"It might be kind of fun to spy on the sun," Roo said.
"Count me in," Tigger said. "Sun spying is what tiggers do best."
So the friends spent the day following the sun all over the 100-acre wood. Rabbit saw it peeking through his garden gate in the morning. Roo and Tigger noticed it straight overhead at lunchtime. Pooh found it behind the oak tree and the made-for-napping shade late in the afternoon. When Eeyore reported that the sun was sliding toward the hill, Piglet, Rabbit, Roo, and Tigger hurried to catch up with it. But when they got to the top of the hill, huffing and puffing from the climb, the sun wasn't there. Not ready to give up, the friends looked in gopher holes and inside caves. They peered under piles of leaves and underneath boulders to see if they could find the sun's nighttime hiding place. But the sun was nowhere to be found. It had simply disappeared again. While his friends were searching the hillside, Pooh was watching the sunset from his thinking spot when Rabbit joined him. "The sun came up near the pond," Rabbit said, making a simple drawing in the dirt. "It was straight up in the sky at noon. And then it set behind the hill, just like it did last night." "Where do you suppose the sun will be tomorrow morning?" Pooh asked. "Think, think, think," he said, tapping his fluff-filled head. Rabbit looked at his drawing, and suddenly he thought he might know the answer. Rabbit got up very early to test his theory about the morning sun. Sure enough, the sun was right where he thought it would be. He hurried to Owl's house, where all of the friends had agreed to meet that morning. "I have very important news," he announced. "The sun came up near the pond again today," Rabbit said excitedly. "I think it travels from the pond to the hill every day. That means it starts the day in the east," and he squinted at a compass on Owl's table, "and it ends the day in the west. Super duper detective work, long ears," Tigger said. "But we still don't know where the sun went last night," Roo said. "Maybe Owl can use his night vision to follow the sun tonight," Pooh suggested. "I can do better than that," Owl said. "I believe I have the solution to your mystery right here." "What's that big ball got to do with anything?" Tigger asked. "This isn't a ball, Tigger," Owl explained. "It's a globe. It shows us what the planet Earth looks like." "Does it bounce?" Tigger asked hopefully. "No, but it does spin," Owl said. "The fact is, the sun didn't go anywhere last night," Owl announced dramatically, giving the globe a spin. "We did." "Not me," Tigger said. "I was at home all night. I fell out of bed once or twice, but other than that, I stayed put." "We may feel like we're standing still, Tigger," Owl said, "but the earth we live on, it's always turning." "Oh my," Piglet said nervously. "Is that a good thing, Owl?" Owl laughed. "It's a wonderful and amazing thing, Piglet. Let me show you." Owl set a lantern on his table. Then he asked Tigger and Roo to close the curtains on the windows. "Pretend that this lantern is the sun," Owl said. "Notice it's not moving. But watch what happens when the earth spins next to us. When the part of the earth we live on faces the sun, it's daytime. And when it faces away from the sun, it's night," Owl explained. "So now do you know where the sun goes at night, little Roo?" Owl asked. "It doesn't go anywhere," Roo exclaimed. "It just waits for us to come back around to see it." "Oh, I think that's just splendid," said Piglet. "Don't you?" Now, that's the end of the story. But I'm sure you know now that the Earth is round and is always spinning around as it travels around the sun. That means that it's turning itself around as it is moving around the sun. But it is so big and is moving so slowly, we don't feel like it's moving in space. When the part of the earth that we live on is facing the sun, it's daytime for us. Nighttime comes when we are turned away from the sun. It's like if you live facing the sun, that's daytime. And nighttime comes when we're turned around from the sun. It's like if you face the window. You could see the window and that would be daylight. But if you turn your back to the window and you cannot see the window's light, then it's nighttime and the sun is out of sight for the length of a night. Try doing that sometime, and then you'll see.
And now we have some sort of riddles for you. Do you know there's many letters in the alphabet? There's 26 letters altogether. And some of them can mean more than one thing. Here we go.
You mean like a vegetable is a the letter?
P, because the peas you would eat, okay?
How about something we could drink?
Tea.
Oh, okay.
Mom likes tea.
How about a body of water?
That would be the sea. Like the ocean sometimes is called the sea.
Okay. How about something you might say to a horse?
Oh, you would say, gee, if you want him to get up. You want him to start running. You'd say, gee, gee.
How about part of your face? Something that's on your face.
What about eye? Oh. There's an eye on your face.
All right. In fact, I've got two of them.
Yes, this is true.
How about something you might say if you were really surprised? You might say,
oh.
Do you know what a female sheep is called? A mother sheep? What's
yes,
it called?
It's called a ewe. It's not spelled with just a U, but it's spelled, it says U, E-W-E.
How about an insect that might buzz around you?
How about a bee?
You want to stay away from them. And how about a bird?
A bird would be a blue jay.
Okay, they're pretty. And how about, if you're going to ask someone a question, you might ask them,
why? Why are you doing that?
Okay, I understand now.
Can you take two letters together now, Miss Dottie? And what would you have two letters would you put together if you wanted to be talk about being chilly or cold?
Icy. It's icy cold.
Icy, right. And if you if it was not hard, what would it be?
Oh, that would be easy.
That's right, easy. Yeah. And if it were empty completely?
Empty.
I just said the word.
Yeah, I think you did. Empty. That's if there's nothing there.
Empty,
right?
That's
empty,
right. And if, let's see, supposing...
Oh, I know.
What?
How about another letter for an Indian tent? Two letters.
Oh, teepee.
Okay. I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, I think we did too.
And now I've got a poem I'm going to read to you.
Okay.
It's just a little short poem, and I'm going to see if you remember about words that rhyme, words that sound alike at the end. The name of this little poem is Me, Ray, Doe. Me, Ray, Doe, pussy's in the snow. Back she comes, oh, what a sight, wearing little boots of white. Jiminy, oh, Jiminy, oh, Jiminy, oh, Joe. Me, Ray, Doe, where shall pussy go? By the fire she shall remain. Jiminy, oh, Jiminy, oh, Jiminy, oh, Joe. Did you hear Ray? In the poem, it was me, Ray, Doe. Can you think of any words that rhyme with Ray?
I can. I can think of about 19 words altogether that rhyme with Ray. But you know what? A good way to do it is to start at the beginning of the alphabet. Now, if we have Ray, there's no word that starts with A.
How about Bay?
Bay, B-A-Y, Bay, Ray, Bay.
Something you might use to make a shape, like clay.
Clay, okay, that's a good word. And what word could come next?
How about no D, E.
How about Fay?
That's somebody's name.
That's right. And hey, I skipped one. How about gay? That means
when you're
happy. Right?
Yeah.
And then hey, who eats hay?
A horse does. And there's J, there's that bird again.
And Jay. It can be a boy's name.
And a boy's name. And so can K, that can be a girl's name.
Right. And how about lay?
And may.
And nay.
Well, that's what a horse says.
That's right. And pay, if you pay somebody some money.
And, here's something you like to do, play.
That's right. And then we have ray, which we started with.
And then say.
And how about a sleigh that you like to go on in the winter?
And a tray to carry things.
Right. And way, which way are we going to go?
An x-ray.
That's right. And then how about, yay, we got 19 words. Yay rhymes too.
Ah, very good.
So it's fun coming up with all these rhyming words and seeing how many you can get to rhyme with each one, with the first one. Why don't you try this on yourself? You could start with A-N, an. There are at least 14 words that will rhyme with A-N, an. Or try cap, C-A-P, like a cap you wear on your head. There are 14 words that will rhyme with that too. And you might even want to try, let's see, A-T, at. There's about 16 words that rhyme with at, and you can probably think of some of your own words. It's sort of a fun thing to do if you're riding in the car and have nothing else to do but sit there and wait. You can do that at that time.
We hope you had fun today listening to our stories about the littles, and we're going to close with the same song that we did last time. If you're happy and you know it, don't forget to try to do all the motions.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray.